I'm only short, so I'll come up here. I'll take the lid off my bar. There we go. Just trying not to kick it over. Steve sends his apologies. He is actually at church this morning. We had a granddaughter sleep over last night, and she wanted to go to her church. So, doing the grandfather thing. So, but he does think of you all and sends his regards. All right, let's pray, because I need to. Lord, we just thank you that you are an awesome God. Lord, that you hear all of our prayers. Lord, that it's you that speaks through us. So, Lord, I pray that everyone hearing this message today may hear from you and that you would give them what you want to through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's good to see you all. Have you ever got into your car in the morning and turned the key and it does nothing? Or you turn the key and it goes, and it doesn't go any further. Isn't it frustrating? Didn't happen to me this morning. But there's lots of things in life that frustrate us like crazy. I use computers quite a bit. I use Excel, which is a spreadsheet. And there are times when the calculations just don't calculate. You know, you're supposed to sum a column of figures and you put that in and nothing happens. And you think, I know there's a way to make it do it, and I forget every time and I've got to go and Google it again. Even printers. You go to print something. And I had this last night. I'd already written this down and I went to use our printer. And I got through about 6 sheets of paper getting jammed in the printer, and I don't know why. And I didn't want to ask the hubby because it'll be my fault. So I ended up feeding it through the back one at a time, and it's all a bit blotchy, but we'll work later. But just things that just should work, and they don't when you need them, and it's usually just when you need them to. I remember one day I was taking the kids to school, and the car just got so far, you know, just corner, and it stopped. It's like, what do I do now? And I actually knocked on the neighbor's door and I said, could you please give us a lift to school? And she did, bless her heart. But it was just like, When you go to turn on a light and it just goes click, and you think, got to go and get a new bulb, got to go and change it. Or even you get up in the morning and you go to switch something on and there's nothing. And then you look around and that's not on and that's not on and that's not on. Power cut. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted. Have you ever flushed a toilet and instead of doing what it should do, it gets higher and higher and higher? And you're sort of thinking, do I try and flush it again and hope it goes? Or is it going to just overflow? Yeah. All these, sorry to be gross, but these things happen, you know? And what do we do about them? This, how many times are you thankful when they do work? How many times do you flush a toilet and just say, thank you, God, that it flushed. Thank you, God, that that sink drained. Thank you, Lord, that I turned a switch on and it worked. We've got a fairly old microwave, and we went to do something the other day, and it didn't work properly. It came up with this error message, and we Googled it, and it's like, oh, you've got to go and see the manufacturer, which normally means buy a new one. Praise God, it did work later, but I'm thinking, I put a wheat bag in my bed at night to be warm. What am I going to do? So, you know, first world problems, that's what we're talking about, aren't we? But you know what? These things do frustrate us and everything else. But we have so much that we can actually be thankful for. You know, because most of the time we turn a light switch and it works. Most of the time we've got constant electricity. We've got constant gas. We've got clean running. We've got hot water. We've got sinks that drain. We've got toilets that flush. But are we thankful for them? Because we, you know, just as easily couldn't have those things. I know I think it's in New South Wales at the moment, there's a place in the mountains, and they're going to be without power for a month. Now, you know, a day or two maybe, your freezer might survive, but a month, no power, no heating, no washing, no charging your phone, if the phones are even working. You know, that's the time to move out and go somewhere else. But we are so blessed. We are so blessed. You know, if you're here this morning, A, you're breathing. Yes. Your breath for another day. You know, you are able to walk in one way or another, maybe not as well as you'd like to, but you are able to get in here. You know, we've got our health. We can see, we can talk, we can hear, we can move. We can, we've got friends, you know, I mean, you guys are all friends, so you've got friends because you've got me. you know, we've got these things in our lives. In this country, we've got peace and safety. You know, we can meet freely and worship. We can go out in the streets fairly safely, most places. You know, we're so blessed. In many parts of the world, they don't have that. It's, I mean, my digress slightly. My daughter-in-law is a black American, and I hear a lot of stuff from the States. They live in Texas. Often you go for a drive and you can get stopped for no other reason than that you're black. And we don't have that over here. You know, we are blessed. Entry, we are blessed because by and large we've escaped the worst of the ravages of COVID. You know, I mean, okay, it might have had other implications, but we haven't had hundreds and thousands of people dying like many countries have had. So we have, and we can just be thankful for that. We've got free healthcare. Just over 19 years ago, my husband had a heart attack, got taken straight to hospital, had a stent put in. He's been okay ever since, you know? Didn't cost us a cent for that. Ambulances, get healthcare for ambulances. you know, we've got heating today. There's heating in this place. Are you thankful for heating and for air conditioning? I tell you, I'm thankful for air conditioning because I hate being without it in the summer. And I'm thankful for heating. I'm thankful for heating in my car because, oh, there's nothing like being comfortable. You know, we can go to the shops freely. Well, not free, as in not without cost, but we go to the shops and there are supplies in the shops. You know, some countries you can go to the shops and there's nothing on the shelves. I just appreciate, I love looking at the sky and looking at the clouds. We are so blessed in WA, got such big vistas. You know, in some places you've got narrow little streets and all you can see is the bit between this house and that house. But here you can see huge expanses of sky. And the clouds recently have been amazing, just to look at them and a bit the beauty and all that sort of thing. Maybe it's just me, but I love it. I love it. So, you know, the Bible talks about, in Leviticus 7, it talks about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And in Leviticus 22, it says, offer it at your own will. So that means, like, whenever we want, with no fixed time. It's not the second Sunday after the third moon of the whatever. Anytime we want to, we can offer God a sacrifice of giving. King David, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom's house back into the city, he appointed Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. 1 Chronicles 25:3 also says about praise and thanksgiving. We've been created to declare his praise. That's what it says in Isaiah 43:21. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. On all those words, you know, thanksgiving, praise, thankful and blessing, they're all sort of linked. Many of the Hebrew words that are used can be used interchangeably. So when we're thankful and when we give thanksgiving, that's praising as well. The Hebrew word toda means thanks, thanksgiving, adoration and praise. The Spirit-filled word wealth in the New King James Version says, this word is derived from the verb yada, meaning to give thanks and to praise. The root of yada is yad, whatever, means hand. So to thank or praise God is to lift or extend one's hands in thanks to him. Now, one of the songs that we were talking about, that we sang today, was talking about with outstretched arms. And that's why we do it. It's an expression, thanks and praise. Other Hebrew words such as barak and yada can simultaneously mean bless, praise and thanksgiving. So they're all really closely linked together. If you're thanking somebody, if you're praising, you know, you can't thank without also praising. It's just kind of like, doesn't work. So there you go. Ezra records praise and thanksgiving when the founder of the new temple was laid. In Ezra 3, it says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, They set the priests in their robes with trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to David, king of Israel. And they sang together, praising and giving thanks to the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. Nehemiah, who's a little bit further on, he was recording when they were building the wall, and he said, it says in Nehemiah 12, that he brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, one on the right hand of the wall going towards the dung gate, the other company on the left hand, beyond the tower of the furnaces, even to the broad wall. So there were two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God. So that thanksgiving has been going a long time. It's a good people in God. The Psalms, of course, are full of thanksgiving. Psalm 136 starts, I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I'll give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. I'll give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. And the rest of that psalm, the end of every verse is, for his mercy endures forever. I mean, isn't that an awesome thing that we can be thanking God for, that his mercy endures forever? Lamentations 3:21 reminds us of that. 21 to 24. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every day. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Isn't it fantastic that he is merciful every single morning? And I'm very glad, because I need that every day. In the New Testament, the Greek word for thanksgiving, or one of the Greek words, is charis, which is also translated graciousness, grace, favor, and thanksgiving. And there's another word that's used for thanksgiving, and that's the word Eucharist. Now, Eucharist is what some churches call communion. So it means gratitude, thankfulness, and worship, but it's often used in giving thanks or saying grace before a meal. You know, often if we give thanks, we mean we're about to eat and, you know. So somewhere between the Old Testament and the New Testament, this was brought in as a routine. Because all the way through the Bible, any time that people were eating, they gave thanks. You know, when Jesus had was feeding the 5,000 or the 4,000, it says he got the bread and broke it and gave thanks. So, and when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, what we call communion, whatever you want, it says he took the bread and the wine and he gave thanks. And that word is the root word, you get Eucharist from. Philippians 4:6, which you probably all know, says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 2:6-7 says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that little passage is really a bullet point of all the things that God recommends we do. At verse 16 it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what, abstain from every form of evil. Now giving thanks in all circumstances isn't always easy, but God tells us to do it. I don't know if you know about Kaboom. She was an old Dutch lady who sheltered the Jews and was taken by the Germans and ended up in Ravensbrück prison camp. So she was there with her sister Betsy. There's a great story just about this thing. It says, in their barracks, they were shown to a series of massive square platforms stacked three levels high and placed so close together that people had to walk single file between them. Rancid straw was scattered over the platforms, which served as communal beds for hundreds of women. Corrie and Betsy found they could not sit upright on their own platform without hitting their heads on the deck above them. They lay struggling against the nausea that swept over them from the reeking straw. Suddenly, Corrie started up, striking her head on the cross slats above. Something had bitten her leg. "Fleas!" she cried. "Betsy, the place is swarming!" Descending from the platform and edging down a narrow aisle, they made their way to a patch of light. "Here, and another one," Corrie wailed. "Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" "Show us. Show us how," Betty said, matter of fact. It took Corrie a moment to realize that her sister was praying. "Corrie," Betsy said excitedly, "he's given us the answer before we asked, as he always does. In the Bible this morning. Where was it? Read that part again." Corrie checked to make sure that no guards were nearby, and then she drew from a small pouch, a small Bible she had managed to smuggle into the concentration camp. "It was in 1 Thessalonians," she said, finding the passage in the light. "Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." "That's it," Betsy interrupted. "That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about..." Corrie stared at her incredulously, and then around at the dark, foul-smelling room. "Such as?" she inquired. "Such as being assigned here together." Corrie bit her lip. "Oh yes, Lord Jesus. Such as what you're holding in your hands." Corrie looked down at the Bible. "Yes. Thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages." "Yes," agreed Betsy. "Thank you for the very crowding here, since we're packed so close that many more will hear." She looked at her sister expectantly and prodded. "Corrie." "Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed suffocouts." "Thank you," Betsy went on serenely, "for the fleas and for..." No, that was too much for Corrie. She cut in on her sister. "Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea." "Give thanks in all circumstances," Betsy corrected. "It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us." So they stood between the stacks of bunks and gave thanks for the fleas. Though on that occasion, Corrie was sure that Betsy was wrong. As the weeks passed, Betsy's health weakened to the point that rather than needing to go out on work duty each day, she was permitted to remain in the barracks and knit socks together with seriously ill prisoners. She was a lightning-fast knitter and usually had her daily sock quota completed by noon. As a result, she had hours each day that she could spend moving from platform to platform, reading the Bible to prisoners. She was able to do this undetected, as the guards never seemed to venture far into the barracks. One evening, when Corrie arrived back at the barracks, Betsy's eyes were twinkling. "You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself," Corrie told her. "You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room," Betsy said, referring to the part of the barracks where the sleeping platforms were. "Well, I found out. This afternoon, there was confusion in my knitting group about sock sizes, so we asked the supervisor to come in and settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why?" Betsy couldn't keep the triumph from her voice as she exclaimed, "Because of the fleas." "That's what she said. That place is crawling with fleas." Corrie's mind raced back to the first hour in the barracks. She remembered Betsy bowing her head in God for creatures that Corrie could see no use for. It's a lovely story. I read that many, many moons ago. I've got the book at home somewhere in a box. I couldn't find it, but I did manage to find the passage and copy it out. So when God says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," he means it. He's got a purpose in it, even if we can't see it at the time. To give thanks in everything can be a discipline. It happens more easily the more we yield to God and are led by the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That word, sound mind, in the Greek is sophronis, and it's a combination of sos, meaning safe, and phren, meaning the mind. Hence, safe thinking. The word denotes good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, and the ability to understand and make right decisions. It includes the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. That's what the word wealth in the Spirit-filled Bible says. So self-control and self-discipline is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's grown through the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can produce them. It's not our own efforts. But as we walk with God, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, it grows in our lives. Now Hebrews 13, 12 to 15 talks about Jesus sanctifying the people with his own blood. He suffered outside the gate. Let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's one thing to mentally assent and to thank God, but God asks us to speak it out loud. That's what the fruit of our lips is. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. But as we speak out God's promises, as we thank him in advance, as we declare them by faith, whether we're seeing them right now or not, you know, we can thank God for what he's doing or will do. For example, in our own family, you know, find scriptures that apply to your situation and speak them out loud. You know, I remember when our kids were younger, Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Isaiah 54, 13 says, all your children shall be taught and disciplined or discipled by the Lord, and great shall be their peace and understosure. Isaiah 59, 20 me says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that's upon you and the words I've put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or the mouth of your children, or the mouth of your children, from this time forth and forevermore. You know, when we speak out God's word, doesn't matter what we're seeing. You know, we're not going by sight, we're going by faith and we're going by the word of God. The more we speak it out, we're declaring, we're making a nation in the spirit that this is what God says. God doesn't lie. You know, he is faithful to his promises. So as we speak out his promises, that does something in the spirit. And eventually we'll see it. So keep doing it. Do it and keep doing it. For the last few months, whenever I've been driving in the car, and you know, I'm often on my own in the car, I've been speaking out loud Psalm 103, the first few verses, and I personalize it. So you probably know how it goes, but I'll say it anyway. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. So you've got your blessing and your praising and your thanksgiving right there. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sorry, all that's within me, praise his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He heals all my diseases. He forgives all my iniquities. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth like the eagles. He fills our mouth. He gives us things to be thankful for, but we've got to speak them out. It doesn't work just saying it in our heads. John 14, 15 says, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We keep God's commandments because he tells us to. But you know what? Science is slowly catching up on how this actually benefits us. John, can you put that, or Morgan, put that thing up on the screen? My old pastor in the UK shared this on Facebook recently. I don't know the source, I have asked him, but he hasn't told me. But he used to be a lawyer and he has a photographic memory, so. It says, staying thankful is so powerful. Did you know there are over 1,200 chemicals in the body which react to thankfulness and begin to restore the body itself and release the emotion of joy? That's not being religious, it's being human and cooperating with how we are designed. Being grateful helps us stay healthy. Now, I like to get backup of, you know, I don't just take a thing at face value. I'm not a medical person. Yvette can comment on this, but I did phone a friend. My son's graduate diploma in counselling, and he put me in touch with this article. It's by Positive Psychology's website, and there's an article by Madhulina Roy Chowdhury, BA, on the neuroscience of gratitude and how it affects anxiety and grief. Now, you can tune out if you like, but I'm going to read some bits that it says from this. Gratitude in all forms is associated with happiness. Expressions of gratitude help in building and sustaining relationships, dealing with adversity, and bouncing back with strength and motivation. Gratitude also impacts on mental and physical well-being. Researchers in the last few decades have established an overwhelming connection between gratitude and good health, and it is positively correlated to more vitality, energy, and enthusiasm to work harder. Gratitude is a natural antidepressant. When we express and receive gratitude, our brain releases dopamine and serotonin, the two crucial neurotransmitters responsible for our emotions and making us feel good. Consciously practicing gratitude every day can help these neural paths to strengthen themselves and ultimately create a permanent, grateful, and positive nature within ourselves. Gratitude has a long-lasting effect on the brain and nervous system, on body functions and psychological conditions like stress, anxiety, and depression. Studies have shown that the hippocampus and the amygdala, the two main sites in the brain for regulating emotions, memory, and bodily functioning, get activated with feelings of gratitude. Gratitude can even reduce subjective feelings of pain. Because gratitude activates the hypothalamus, it can help us to get deeper and healthier sleep naturally. Those who feel thankful show a marked reduction in cortisol, the stress hormone. They also have better cardiac functioning and are more resilient to setbacks and negative experiences. By reducing stress hormones and managing autonomic nervous system functions, gratitude significantly reduces symptoms of depression and anxiety. The Mindfulness Awareness Research Center of UCLA stated that gratitude changes the neurotransmitters in the brain, making us feel happier and more content. At a neurochemical level, gratitude acts as a catalyst for neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, the ones that manage our emotion, anxiety, and immediate stress responses. Now, much of modern psychology looks at thanking ourselves or thanking of other people. But we know God, and we can thank him because he is the source of everything good in our lives. And we can give him the praise and the glory that he so richly deserves. Now, if you can't think of anything else to thank him for, remember what he says about you. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. You are the apple of his eye. Now, Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 17, Lamentations 2, Zechariah 2. Your name is engraved on his hand. Isaiah 49, 16. You were called by your name. Isaiah 43, 1. You are precious in his sight and he loves you. Isaiah 43, 4. You are his own special. Deuteronomy 7. You are a crown of glory and his royal diadem. Isaiah 62. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and you've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5. You're washed in his blood. 1 John 1 and Ephesians 1. And we were singing earlier how, you know, because of his blood, we've got that entrance into the Holy of Holies. We can come into his very presence. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1. We're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4. We are a chosen generation, a royal priest, a holy nation, his own special people. 1 Peter 2. And we have become the Israel of God. Galatians 6. So all the promises for Israel are for us as well. So God tells us to be being thankful is good for us. God deserves to be thanked. I suggest and I challenge you to try thanking God for 10 things every morning and every evening. Different ones each day. Homework. I might not be here next week, but I'll check on you in 2 weeks' time. So just as I finish, I'll just pray for us all. Lord, you are such an awesome God, and we've got so much to be thankful for. Lord, we can rain and think, oh. Or we can say, Lord, thank you for watering the earth and softening it and causing things to grow. Lord, we just thank you that we've got cars to come here and that keep us dry and cars that work. Lord, help us to remember just how awesome you are and to give you the thanks that you deserve because you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you that you love us so much. And we bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So giving thanks is healthy. Amen. So every time the Bible says give thanks to the Lord, he's thinking about your health. It's true. It's all about you. God already knows how great he is. Should we just stand right now? Hallelujah. Like Karen said, sometimes it's quite hard to give him thanks for fleas. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks in your situation because the situation looks greater than anything else. But a mindset change of giving thanks for something, if you start with the little things, it'll bring in much things. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And I know Karen's prayed. But more than ever before, we need to be grateful for everything he has given us. Everything. Amen. And as we are, I believe what that does, it opens your heart up. Instead of having a critical spirit, you can have a thankful spirit. Amen. Because it's so easy in the flesh to go critical, isn't it? It's so easy to blame someone for something. It's so easy to, especially if you're married, to blame your spouse for your situation. I've put on weight, so it's your fault, you know? Or you shouldn't have made me eat that. Things like that. But in all things, we've got to give thanks. Amen. So let's bow our heads this morning. I believe the church is coming into a place, the body of Christ's place, where if we don't allow the fruit of lips, in fact, it says the fruit of our lips, but that word ours is italicized. It's the fruit of lips, which is the gift of the Spirit. Amen. It's actually a gift of the Spirit. And we sung a song this morning, Lord, place the coal upon my lips. So it's not by coincidence God's trying to get a message across. What's coming out of my mouth? What is actually coming out of my mouth? Amen. So God's encouraging us this morning to give thanks instead of being critical, instead of being judgmental, instead of all them other things that it's so easy to fall into and no one's exempt. We're all the same. Amen. But it is a work of the Spirit to have a gratitude in your heart. Amen. So, Father, we just ask you, place the coal upon our mouths afresh. Jesus, 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 you actually said in the Gospels that we judge for every idle word we speak, or we will give account. Father, therefore, we lay aside all the criticisms, the negativity. Father, we look to you, the author and finisher of my faith. And you're the God who causes change and exchange to happen. So, Father, help me to bless my fleas. Help me to bless, Father, and be thankful for everything in my situations. Even though I don't understand it, your word is true, and your word is yes, and your word is amen. That all things will work out together for my good. And today, Father, we thank you. We thank you. And we take up the challenge to give thanks for a few things, 10 things, every day. We take up the challenge because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it will transform my mind. So I love you. I appreciate you, and I thank you, Father, for everything in life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship. That would be wonderful. Men, do not forget the chairs. That would be even better. Amen.